Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And this edition is part two of our grieving and bereavement series that I'm doing with Mary Coakley and Jennifer Brain. How are you, ladies?
Doing well, Dave.
Oh, good. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming back. I didn't scare you away after the first segment. As I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing some work on a very sensitive topic, the holiday season. And as I said in my first intro in part one, this is now part two, talking about grieving and bereavement and the processes and sub-processes that go into all that. But not just from a process standpoint, but from a human standpoint, because it affects everyone. Right. Mary, do you want to open us up with a prayer?
Yes, I would like that. Thank you.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, beloved of the Father, teach all families to love. Mary, Mother of Jesus and our Mother, teach all families to hope. Joseph, foster father of Jesus and protector of the Holy Family, teach all families to have strong faith. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Jennifer, did you want to start us off next? You're talking about our Catholic faith and what that provides.
Sure.
In grieving and bereavement?
Absolutely. So our Catholic faith provides so many wonderful rituals and traditions to guide us through the liturgical year, as well as our lives in general. And the holiday season is no different. Right after Thanksgiving, we enter into the season of Advent. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of expectancy as we await the coming of the Christ child. But most importantly, it's a season of hope. But for many, it can be a time of great anguish and sorrow. For those who have lost a loved one, it's often a time when once more they're struck with their feelings of grief. They're reminded of the person or the people who aren't going to be part of the celebrations. For people who have lost a loved one during the holidays, the anniversary of their death can make this time very bittersweet. They often, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, find themselves reliving those moments. Even something as simple and innocent as the baby Jesus can become a pain point. Mm-hmm. For couples who have struggled with infertility, for women who have had a miscarriage or an abortion, or just someone who's experienced the death of their own child, the joy surrounding the birth of Jesus can be hard to accept. The pain of our grief can numb us from our feelings and blind us from all the blessings that surround us. And this is where intentional planning and healing rituals can be really helpful.
Wow. Thank you, Jennifer. That's so important, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, let's talk about some of the ways those who are experiencing grief can prepare for Christmas and the New Year.
Well, as I mentioned, the church offers the season of Advent to usher in the Christmas season. There's an Advent wreath, which is lit as part of the liturgy each Sunday. And each week we focus on something different. The purple and pink candles remind us of hope and peace, joy, and the love of Christ. One of the things that we share with our grief group participants is called the grief wreath. This takes the concept of the Advent wreath and builds on it as a tribute to our deceased loved ones. If you have an Advent wreath, you can repurpose it as a grief wreath, or you can pull together any setup that works for you. For example, I have a tray at home that I put 5 tea lights in and just have little stones surrounding them. You can put photos of your loved ones around it, or you can put a nativity set or garland, whatever speaks to you. However simple or innate you want to make it, it's something that's specific to you and any other family members or friends who might want to do it with you. We thought it might be nice today to share the grief wreath with the listeners. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple healing ritual. It only takes a few minutes to complete. And if you're doing this at home, you can take as much or as little time as you want to reflect on each of the points of the grief wreath.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. That's wonderful. I think that's a great idea. Mary, will you lead us through the process?
Yes, absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
As we light these candles in honor of you, we light one for our grief, one for our courage, one for our memories, and one for our love, and one for our hope. We light these candles not in memory of a death, but in celebration of a life and a love shared.
The first candle represents our grief.
The pain of losing you is intense. This candle reminds us of the depth of our love for you.
The second candle represents our courage.
We pray for courage to confront our sorrow, to comfort each other, to change our lives.
The third candle we light in your memory.
We remember the times we laughed, the times we cried, the times we were angry with each other, the silly things you did, the caring and the joy that you gave us.
The fourth candle represents the light of our love.
Day by day, we cherish the special place in our hearts that will always be reserved for you. We thank you for the gift your life brought to each of us. We love you always.
The fifth candle represents the light of hope.
The last candle is the light of hope. It reminds us of love and memories of you that are ours forever. May the glow of the flame be a source of hopefulness now and forever, until by God's grace we meet again in heaven. We love you. Amen.
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 This tribute to our deceased loved ones is something that we found and had adapted. It was actually a resource of the Conley Outreach Community Services. And in general, there are lots of resources online. And so one of the things, if listeners are interested, is that you can find a video on YouTube on the MMR Church page under the bereavement videos, where our group actually put together the same thing. So I know that if somebody's listening, they might have just kind of heard this, maybe liked it, and would like to try it when they can do their own. So
excellent.
Certainly an option. So one of the things that we were talking about last time, we focused a lot about how people feel and how people can be supportive of the people that are grieving. And so I wanted to just use today's opportunity to share with people how grief really does put us on this sudden and sometimes unexpected, difficult journey. And it made me think about, as we're thinking about the Christmas season, how really this does mirror the difficult road that the Holy Family had faced. First, we've got Joseph and Mary, right? They were forced to journey to Bethlehem by the decree that was issued by Herod. So this was not something that they chose. It was something that happened, that was mandated, and they had to respond. Next, they had to travel many miles to get there. And this was at a time that Mary was at the end of her pregnancy. These were not going to be easy journeys, right? This was walking or riding. And it's definitely not at a time that most women would choose to make such a journey. They arrive in Bethlehem. They find that it is full of travelers. There is no place to stay. Again, not where I, when I was pregnant, in either of my pregnancies, would want to put myself, right? They finally find a place to be. And Jesus is born. But as the St. Andrew prayer says, it was at midnight in Bethlehem in the piercing cold. Again, not the place that someone would choose for their child to be born, let alone the Savior of the world. Now, strangers appear at their door, which was likely very unsettling. despite the gifts and the worship that they came with. These were people they didn't know and they weren't familiar with. And they were in this very vulnerable position, right? They're away from home. Mm-hmm. They have a new baby. It's got to have been very overwhelming. And now they have people they don't know showing up with expectation of what's going to happen next. And then after all is said and done and things settle down, then they're warned that they can't go home, right? So Joseph has a dream and the angel reveals to him that they can't go back where they came from. Mm-hmm. And so now they have to head to a foreign land where they have to start their lives anew. Now, think of how similar this is to a grief journey. Number one, we're forced to go where we do not want to go. We have to just accept that the person that we love has died and there's nothing that we can do about it. Mm-hmm. Number two, we don't have the support or the resources that we need in most cases. And a lot of times people don't even know what the resources or support that you need are, let alone yourself. Things can be overwhelming or confusing because we have to deal with all sorts of circumstances or people that we've never encountered before. We're doing something we've never had to do before. And if we had done it before, then now we're dredging up these pain points, right? Mm-hmm. So if mom dies and dad had already died, we're going and all of a sudden they start to merge the grief from the past and the grief mm-hmm. that we're currently experiencing.
Good point.
And when we finally get our bearings, we too find out we can't go home again. Or even if we return to the house that we called home, things just aren't the same anymore. So, again, there's a lot of similarities between their difficult road and the one that we encounter when we're grieving.
Well, Jen, that was so aptly said, but Mary wants to say something and embellish that, those points, okay?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to add that when we're speaking about the loss, it's not only just the loss of a loved one. Many people are experiencing different types of losses and might be having the same feeling this Christmas season. For example, you may have the loss of your family, whether through divorce or maybe you are an empty nester mm-hmm. and the house is much quieter. And that feels like a loss. That feels like something that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself, mm-hmm. but here you are. Other people experience the loss of a job this time of year.
Yes, unfortunately.
And there's a lot of fear and anxiety, as we described in the Bethlehem story, of moving forward without that job.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are faced with secondary losses that I talked about last week. As a result of the death or as a result of some of these other losses that I'm describing now. So, for example, maybe you need to sell the home as a result of your loved one's death or the result of your job loss. And that's a big cross to bear to give
yes,
it all
it is.
Up.
Yes, it is. I thought of one I can add into that, if you will. Being a veteran and having moved, permanent change of station, we call it. In other words, one assignment ends, go on to the next. Or I had an assignment here in Philly, but then I had to go, but family stayed behind.
Mm.
And so I had to go and like start over. And I know many veterans, I'm active duty service members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that I'm a veteran, I made it through that stuff, but I experienced many of those feelings.
Yes.
At one point, I was driving to my next assignment. I tell people, well, I was around Pittsburgh. I was going out to St. Louis area. And I said, why am I doing this?
Huh.
I should just turn around. Well, I didn't have a civilian job.
Uh-huh.
I had the military was really good, but I mean, I experienced a loss. I had to leave what I knew family-wise and everything, my comfort levels,
mm-hmm.
and go.
That's right.
Boom. I knew it was coming, and there was a dread. There's a discomfort, a sadness.
Mm-hmm.
I was very sad. You know what? Well, for me personally, I said, well, I was getting close to retirement. And I kept telling myself, I mean, I just used that as a huge carrot. I said, I'm going to go to retirement, you know, God willing, 1.5 assignments, perhaps, and then I'm done. So I had to suck it up. I didn't want to, so.
That's right. And I think that captures the feeling that many people have. You just don't want to do this, mm-hmm. but you're not given a choice. Mm-hmm. You need to just keep moving forward mm-hmm. with that loss and with all of the changes that come with it.
Yes.
You know, and I just wanted to bring up another one that might not occur, which is, or occur to you, is that there could be a loss of health. Mm-hmm. That is a change that people don't recognize that is a loss. Mm-hmm. If you used to be able to have the strength to prepare for Christmas, put up the lights, put up the trees, do the hours of shopping, do the hours of cooking, and now your knees don't handle that, or your back can't handle that, or you're just sick in some way.
Mary's looking at me. No.
That is also a loss. And we need to recognize that and honor that.
Mm-hmm. We had also discussed pets, the love of a pet.
Yes.
You know, that maybe lived a dog or a cat that lived 18 years and then they were degrading, or they were, you know, due to illness. But yeah, we've been there, my family, many people. And some people are not married. They may be single, and they rely on that pet, and that pet becomes
part of the family.
Part of the family, big time. So, mm-hmm.
Well, and pets are very sensitive souls. I think that's the mm-hmm. word that we classify, right? There's the different level of soul, and pets are those that understand us without words.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
think about how often cats or dogs or whatever pet, you know, just mm-hmm. seem to sense when you need your space and when you need some comfort or consolation. And so you don't even need words for that. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had multiple people who have come into our sessions and have talked about that one of the saving graces after they've lost someone is that they found a pet who kind mm-hmm. of served as this
surrogate.
A surrogate.
Yes.
Yeah, to kind of give them that feeling of someone or something still being present with them that mm-hmm. they could touch and have an actual physical relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're physical beings. We mm-hmm. were given this human existence. And I think it's so important that we understand and address that. We are hybrids. Mm-hmm. We're physical beings, but we're spirited. And so that goes back to the whole premise that we started with about how our faith really is a foundation, mm-hmm. that it really is a guide, that it does help to prop us up even in these times of heartache and sorrow and desolation.
Thank you, Jen. That's very good. And Mary, yes. Yes. Anything else that you want to put in before we go on?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about how many things we can still do for our loved ones, even though that they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this time of year, we want to show the love that we have for them. And they're still present to us, even though they're not present to us bodily, they mm-hmm. are present to us spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so, in fact, the spiritual gifts are the best ones that we can offer them. So obviously, we are praying for them. And we can even pray with them. We believe that they are interceding for us in heaven, for us in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so we call upon our loved ones in prayer.
Yeah, I'd mentioned the communion of saints before
mm-hmm.
in the previous program. Yes.
That's right. That's right. One of the prayers that I turn to often for my loved ones is the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And we know that Jesus told St. Faustina that if one would pray the chaplet while the person is dying, that they would come, that Jesus would appear as the merciful Savior, not the just judge. Mm-hmm. But we also know from her writings that the Chaplet of Divine Mercy calls upon graces on those who are suffering in purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a particular prayer that you can pray.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that people might not be aware of is that there is a special rosary for the deceased. And we actually have a video posted on the video series that Jen just mentioned on the MMR Church YouTube page. The Rosary for the Deceased substitutes certain prayers for others, and it's focused on the glorious mysteries because we are a resurrection people.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
Focus on the hope of our loved ones' continued life in heaven and resurrection in the final days.
Wow, Mary, thank you. Thank you for that. Well, Jen, I want to kind of turn over to you. We need to go back and consider the miraculous event that happened on that cold, dark night in Bethlehem. Do you want to continue that thought?
Yeah. I mean, a Savior
was born.
And
bring it to our Lord.
Right?
Yeah.
The Savior of the world was born. But we have to remember that that baby was born to die. He entered into this earthly realm to live a human life and to die a human death, just like our loved ones have or will. But his story doesn't end with his death. As Mary just said, you know, we're a resurrection people. And as we profess in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell and then on the third day rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. So this baby who was born to die did so to conquer death and to bring salvation to all of us, so that those who die with him will also rise with him. We believe that death is not the end. And this is the hope that we seek to bring to the people who are grieving, especially this time of year.
And ladies and gentlemen, Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, we have you in mind and your loved ones in mind who may be going through a grieving process, a bereavement process. So, you know, we're here for you. That's why we're doing this series. Mary and Jen and myself, it's for you because we love you.
We do. And that's, again, one of the most beautiful things to ponder is how connected we all are. We are connected to the Holy Family. We are connected to our loved ones, whether they're here with us or not. We're focusing a lot on people who have died, but we can apply these same principles, these same thoughts to people who we're just estranged from here on earth. We can apply it even to our former selves. And it might seem a little odd, but I mean, I pray for my former self at times to give her encouragement, to let her know you're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. I know it feels so hard right now, but you are going to get through this.
I love that.
And
wow.
That's another, you know, thing. Again, I share these little tidbits, right?
Well,
but that's
you.
The thing. We share what works for us. And that's really what bereavement is all about. It's about exchanging ideas, and it's about encouraging one another because we are all one body in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Pope Francis has, you know, brought to the fore, we hear the term accompaniment, are to accompany people on their journey, our friends, our family, on the journey. And this is another form of accompaniment of the ones we love. And we're trying to help each other get to heaven in our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else you want to say, Jen? That was beautiful. Mary, that's been beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
So what do you see, maybe another part three coming up? We're going to have to work on that. I mean, there's New Year's coming up after Christmas. So, again, we're in this cacophony of the secular world, the advertisements and everything else, you know, get your 30% off, you know, a BOGO, buy one, get one free, you know, and name any, whatever the material item is, you know, car or whatever, fill in the blank. But Christmas is not just that, it has become that, or the holiday season, there's more than that. And we want to try and restore what we know is what it should be, you know, in our Catholic faith.
Yeah. And take advantage. I know, again, for some people, it's difficult being at church because, again, it might bring back those feelings. I really challenge people, though, to know that sometimes the anticipation of an event is actually more difficult than the event itself. And so the more you think about, oh, gosh, I can't go to church or I can't go to that event, you start to get yourself a little twisted up. But sometimes just stepping out in faith walking into the church, walking into the party, you can always leave. But if you don't go to begin with, then you're not going to progress. And again, it's a grief journey, which means you need to take steps forward or you won't get somewhere. You'll be stuck right where you are, which is obviously a place that is not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so trust in the process and be willing to step out in faith.
And trust in the Lord.
And trust in the Lord.
Mary, were you going to close us?
Yes.
With a prayer?
I would like to do that.
Thank you.
This is a prayer for all of our faithful departed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Gracious God, with faith in the resurrection, we pray for all the faithful departed. With joy, we thank you for what we shared in this life. With hope, we entrust them to your mercy. Purify them and welcome them to your kingdom, where they will see you face to face. With blessed anticipation, we look forward to the coming age, when with your grace, we shall see you and be united with them again in paradise. Amen.
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 The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Mary Coakley.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jennifer Breen.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll close with Breath of Heaven by Amy Grant.
I have traveled Breath.